Some of the biggest battles in college sports this fall are not taking place on the football field. They're in administrative offices in a struggle for money. Commentator Frank DeFord says big schools are competing against smaller ones.
I love college presidents when it comes to sports. Most of them know very well how athletics make a mockery of academia. Well, of course, at everybody else's college. Athletic departments pretty much operate as wholly owned independent subsidiaries of the Corporation of Alumni Amusement. Of course, presidents always do show up at football games to sit in their 50-yard line box there to show the rich sports alumni that they dearly do love sports, even as they go to bed every night praying that the NCAA won't catch their athletic department cheating until they've moved on to their next job. At least presidents at a large number of second-class athletic universities nowadays have found honesty. 44 of them have formed the Presidential Coalition for Athletic Reform. But please understand what reform here means. Well, it means exactly this. The Week 44 want more money for their football programs. A blow for candor. This is the most truthful declaration in college sports since that noble president of the University of Oklahoma declared to the state legislature, "What we want is a university that the football team can be proud of." What the coalition presidents are exercised about is that the bowl championship series is controlled by six conferences with 62 teams, plus Notre Dame, which is a football conference unto itself, even if it can't beat anybody. These heavy 63 universities split in excess of $100 million a year, while allowing all the other Division I-A colleges to pick up about $5 million worth of table scraps every year. The heavy 63 maintain that they have all the glamour teams the networks desire, and so essentially the football nobodies ought to be grateful they're getting the pittance that they are. This argument has been put some to the test this year when outcast teams like Northern Illinois and Bowling Green have beaten members of the Football Social Register. However, even with some congressmen, well, at least those from states who don't have colleges in the heavy 63, screaming that the system is un-American, don't expect any changes in college football. Despite the fact that every other NCAA sport, as well as the other football divisions, have playoffs to determine their national champion, Division I football maintains its elite bowl championship, wherein only two teams are consecrated to play for the title. The reason given is that the players for the heavy 63 schools must not be taken away from their classroom. This is, of course, utter nonsense. The maintenance of the anachronistic bowl system, which grew up decades ago, before airplane travel, so that various Sunbelt cities would have a profitable annual holiday excursion package, means that college coaches can keep their teams practicing for weeks after the regular season ends in November. The bowl system is much more of a threat to academics than any fair playoff between the top four or eight teams could ever be. But the heavy 63 are in league with the big bowls, and so two of their teams will be delegated to play in the Sugar Bowl on January 4th, thereby to determine a national champion. College football, you see, manages to remain all-American and un-American, both.
The comments of Frank DeFord, senior contributing writer at Sports Illustrated. He joins us each Wednesday from member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut.